We talk a lot on this podcast about chess improvement, but when it comes to improving your hiring processes, Indeed is the platform you need. Indeed has over 350 million global monthly visitors, and it has a matching engine that helps you find quality work candidates fast. You can use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with your candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Years ago, when I was running a chess teaching business, I found it hard to find good help, and I had to go through a lot of back and forth to even screen potential candidates. Indeed allows you to do those things efficiently in one place. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed for hiring, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of Perpetual Chess will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility if you go to Indeed.com/chess. Just go to Indeed.com/chess right now, and you'll be supporting our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast, Indeed.com/chess. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Johnson, and this is the Perpetual Chess Podcast. On Perpetual Chess, I have weekly conversations with the chess world's best players, promoters, and educators about their lives, careers, current projects, and best practices. For more information, go to perpetualchesspod.com. Okay, everyone, I am here with Argentinian Grandmaster, one of the top 100 players in the world and the top player in Argentina, Sandro Mareco. Thank you for coming on, Mr. Mareco.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
So I've been wanting to get a guest from South America for a while now. I've had some email requests, and obviously giant part of the world, rich chess history. So I'm really happy to get the perspective of an elite player from that part of the world. And I'm especially grateful because as we record this today, they're in round four of the Norway tournament. So I'm sure you've had an eye on that right now. Have you been watching that tournament?
Yeah, I saw a few games, but to be honest, normally I prefer to be more the European Championship because I feel that they fight more in this kind of tournament. Because in the Norway, okay, are the top players, they play well, but I feel that sometimes they don't try to risk so much. For that reason, I prefer to be the European Championship. I saw the games also from the Norway chess, but for me, it was clear more interesting the European Championship.
Yeah, well, that's a Swiss format, right?
Yeah, not only because it's Swiss format, but normally I think that maybe in the other, in Norway, we have a lot of strong players, of course, but I feel that maybe they don't want to risk so much because maybe if they lost some rating points, they are not more in this kind of tournaments. They are not more invited. And for that reason, maybe I feel that some players they play very well and they are very strong players, but I feel that sometimes they play some safe positions and without too much risk normally.
Okay. So do you follow, generally, if there's a big tournament going on, do you follow it? Or are you busy with your own life?
Yeah. Normally, I think that all the players that have a high rating saw all the tournaments. Normally, I try to see all the games, but it's not so easy because, for example, in Norway are not so much games, but in the European Championship are more games. But normally, if I have some time, I like to see the games because for me it's fun also.
Oh, well, it's fun, but I imagine it's also a bit of your workload to keep up with openings and stuff like that.
Yeah. Normally, I try to improve my chess, but if you saw some players only, for example, I try to improve my chess, not only in the openings. Yeah, I try to solve some problems of compositions, problems, studies from Benko and Kasparian and some things like that. Also try to improve my my chess in positional play, because normally I have 59 of rating, but also I have a lot of things to improve.
So what do you think you need to improve?
For my level, I feel that maybe in some positional games, I don't play so well to be a player of my rating, yeah?
So, the rare modest chess player.
Yeah, but I feel that normally is important. In some, I'm not so bad in positional chess, yeah? But for my rating, I feel that maybe in some positions, I don't play so well. And also, I think that it's important to be good on calculation, because this was very important in practical games, yeah?
Yes, of course.
Maybe because, for example, you can play very well in the opening and also in positional chess, but if you make a blunder, all is very bad, yeah? Also,
yeah.
All is over, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, well, before we get back to chess, let's take a step back. And I think a lot of listeners will probably have seen your name and maybe reviewed a couple of your games. But being that this is a global audience and primarily an English-speaking audience, they may not be as familiar with your background. So, Sandro, could you tell us a little bit more about like when you started playing chess and where you live and some basics like that?
Yeah, I started to play chess at when I had 5, I learned to move the pieces, but only when I have 13, I start to play in a chess club.
Oh, that's...
Normally I'm not a young prodigy or something like that. Because when I have 18, I have only 2187 of rating. Not so much.
That's extremely impressive.
It's strange. It's different because, but when I finished the school, I think that I want to be chess player. It was a very strange decision because I'm not a rising talent or something like that. But I like, and for that reason, I try, yeah?
Good for you. And you live in Buenos Aires, correct?
Yeah, I live in Buenos Aires, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mentioned to you in an email, my wife and I went on our honeymoon in Argentina and got to spend a few days in Buenos Aires, so it's dear to my heart. It's a wonderful city.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city, yeah, and you have a lot of restaurants and a lot of things to do because it's a big city also.
Yeah, and you enjoy...
Yeah, I like, but normally I travel a lot, and also I like very much Brazil because I have a lot of friends in Brazil also, and I spend a lot of time in Brazil also.
Okay, I've not yet had the pleasure of going to Brazil. Are they mostly chess friends or friends outside of chess?
Mostly are chess friends, but not, for example, a lot of chess players but are my friends, but not players of high rating. I have a lot of friends that have high rating, but also amateur players are my friend. A lot of amateur players.
Okay.
For example, I have the same friends from a lot of years.
Okay. So what did you do to go from 2200 FIDE to 2650 after the age of 18?
I start to train more, and normally I think that it's important to solve tactical problems. This is important in all levels, yeah?
Yes.
And also, the most important, I feel, that is that you need to do your the problems that you have in your game. For example, normally some players of 22 are very good on tactical, but also very bad in positional play. And others players are very good in positional and also very bad in tacticals. And normally you need to focus in your weakness, yeah?
Okay.
And this looks easy, but normally it's not so easy because a lot of players have weakness on the things that they don't like.
Right.
Normally, for example, if you play bad in endgames, normally it's because you don't like to study endgames. You understand me, yeah?
Yes, of course.
Normally, you need to do something that you don't like, maybe, because normally the players want to do a lot of things that they like. Normally, you have some players that... they like to study openings, and always they study openings. But maybe they don't need to study openings because they know well for their rating that they have, but normally they continue to study openings. Study openings are more and more and more because they like to do that. But this is not their weakness. You understand me, yeah?
Yes. So when you were 18, were you in university or studying chess full time? Like, how did you approach it, like, from a time management perspective?
No. Only I play chess and also I give a lot of lessons. I am chess trainer from 13. From when I have 17, I start to do some chess lessons. And normally I train a lot of players from South America.
Okay, and obviously now you're an elite player, but when you were lower rated and younger, was there good demand for chess trainers?
No, because I don't use too much chess trainers because I don't have the money to pay when I have this rating. But I think that the chess trainer are important because they help you to economize time.
Right. And what about your work as a chess trainer? How did you find students when you were starting out?
I start to make lessons when I have 17. And normally in South America, they know me like a trainer, yeah?
Okay.
Because I train a lot of players from South America. For example, from Argentina, I train Alan Pichot, that at this moment is the third of also Crisa, that is fifth or sixth from the writing of Argentina. Also Obregón, that he's the eighth or ninth or something like that. And also from Brazil, Di Berardino and Evandro Barbosa, they have a 2,500. I train a lot of players. Quintiliano also, that they have also near to 25. Also players from Chile.
It sounds like you're a good trainer. You've got
I don't know exactly, but for example, a few years ago, I go like a trainer with Alan Pichot to World Cup under 16, and he won. And I went with him to South Africa, and he won the tournament. And I traveled with him like a trainer, yeah? And also, right. I train a lot of players because maybe, I don't know, 200 or 300 of players I train maybe in my
life. And do you is this mostly online, on Skype? Or?
Yeah, mostly online because I travel a lot also. But to be honest, it's strange because this year maybe I try to be more chess player.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, maybe I am more chess trainer than chess player.
Wow.
I made the two things, yeah? But this year I think that maybe in July I start to be a chess player more than chess trainer. But I need to do this a few years because it was important for my economy. But also, I like to make lessons. I like very much when I saw the student improve your chess. But normally, I like to do that because I think that it's important that if you don't like to give lessons, it's difficult that you bring good lessons.
Right. And So what's... I know that you must have students of all different levels, but do you have a certain approach to teaching? Like, what do you think helps people improve the most?
Normally I prepare a lot of material, yeah, for my lessons. I have a lot of, because I bring a lesson from a lot of years, but normally the first that I do is to see the games of my students, yeah? Mm-hmm. Maybe 25 games, yeah?
Okay.
And I try to see what they do for his writing, what they do bad, for example. Normally, they have a lot of weakness, but normally they have a special weakness, normally. And I try to find that, and we try to work hard on that. Normally, maybe don't like when we start, because maybe I'm not so... Maybe it's not so funny for a day, yeah?
Right, but now, yeah.
But when they improve, they are happy, and it's not important if they like or not or didn't like. You understand me, yeah?
Yeah, so you tell them.
When they have more rating, they are happy, and they don't have any problem that they try to do a few things that they don't like. Yeah,
right.
Normally, I try to see their weakness to work hard on that. This is important because normally, if you don't have a trainer, you need to do that in your game. Yeah, you need to be critical and try to see what you do worse in your chess games.
Okay. And how much, so over these years, how much time a week are you able to spend studying your own chess? It sounds like you're pretty busy teaching.
Yeah, it's not so easy, but normally I try, I am a trainer of a lot of players of good rating. And for that reason, I try to, when I prepare for a day, I try to study also. But normally I spend something like giving the lesson, study chess, and also preparing the lesson, maybe 50 or 60 hours per week. Normally something like that.
Okay, so 50 to 60 hours a week, counting teaching and your own preparation?
Yeah, my own preparation, and also prepare the chess games. Normally, when I prepare for an important tournament, normally I try to give me some time. For example, and I speak with my students, and they understand because they are normally a chess player also.
Right.
And for that reason, they understand. For example, when I go into play the World Cup, normally I try to train harder. And also, in the last years, I trained with a player. I trained, but only when I was a grandmaster, with Ulf Andersson. Maybe you hear about him.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, he's a very nice person and also a very strong player. He plays well on the things that I am worse. He was very good on endgames and also in positional chess. He is fantastic for me.
Okay.
He's a very nice person, and also for that reason, I like very much to go to train with him. Normally, I train with him in Sweden.
So you make trips to Sweden in order to work with him?
Yeah, I make a few. Maybe in my life, I spend something like 3 months in Sweden or something like that, or 2 months and a few days or something like that. I don't know exactly, but I stay a lot of time with him.
Where within Sweden do you go? Is it Stockholm?
I need to go to Arboga. He lives in a village, a very small village, and boring village also. Don't have nothing to do.
Good place to study chess, right?
Yeah, only to study chess, because I make a joke that he is the younger man on the village, and he have 65 or
right. Okay, can't get into too much trouble there.
Yeah, and we don't have nothing more to do, because maybe in the village we have maybe 12,000 people, nothing. It's a very small village, and we don't have nothing special to do, but normally I can go to Arboga to train with him. And okay. For me, it was good. Okay, it's not a fantastic place to be, because we don't have nothing more to do, but it's good for my chess, I think.
Yeah, well, it's tough to compete with Buenos Aires.
Yeah, it's difficult because...
Although if you're doing 50 to 60 hours a week of chess, you might not be maximizing the city anyway, making the most of it.
Yeah. yeah. But I spend this time because I work with chess, yeah, and I need to do, like, if this was my... normal work, yeah, I need to give to make the lessons and these things, and for that reason I spend a lot of time. But I like, this is important, because if you don't like, maybe if you don't like, it's difficult to be chess player, because maybe you have some other things to do that will be more easy, and also they are better to, if you want to make to win some money, for example, you have a lot of the possibilities to do that are not chess. But if you like chess, it's possible to league like Grandmaster and these things. But you need to spend a lot of time. But for me, it's not so problem, because I like very much to... Normally, for example, if I take some rest days, normally it's impossible to me to didn't see nothing of chess. Normally, I need to see on my cell phone or something, because I need to know what happens, yeah?
Oh, that's a great attitude.
But normally all the players that are stronger, they for example, if I try to take a rest, normally I need to know only the results of what happens because it's difficult to be out of chess. Yeah. Because
right. So has there ever been a period where you felt burnt out, where you felt like tired of chess, or has it just never even happened?
Tired, maybe, after, because at this moment I'm trying to take a rest of a few days because I play a lot of tournaments in a row. I play something like 5 or 6 tournaments in a row, and for that reason was very much. I'm not totally tired of chess, but I try to take a rest to have energy to work again, but and also to try to improve my chess because with the rating that I had, maybe it's difficult to improve and also it's difficult to maintain my rating, yeah?
Yes, it's yes.
Because normally I need to win against also very good players. Because, for example, if I play with a player of 2500, they are very good players also. And it's not so easy to win against these kind of players, yeah?
Yeah.
And if I made a draw, I lost a lot of rating for made a draw against a good player. And for that reason, it's very difficult, yeah, to improve my chess. But I try to do.
Okay.
It's not so easy, but it's my work, yeah? I need to do that if I don't want to lose my rating, yeah?
Yeah. Do you find that stressful? Like, do you worry a lot, like, if you have a bad tournament?
Yeah, normally, but I am a player that normally in all of tournament that I play, normally I lose one game, and for that reason is not so. Maybe I am training on that also, because normally if you see, for example, in the last tournament that I play, I lost 3 games and also I won 3 games, yeah?
Right.
Before that, I won a solo tournament, and I in this tournament I didn't lose any game, but for example, in Dubai also I lost one game. And in Sharjah also, I lost one game, the first round also. And in Vietnam also, I lost the first round. And for that reason, maybe I'm training to lose. Normally, I lost a lot of games. Also, it's necessary to win a lot of games, yeah, to maintain my rating. But normally, I'm not a very solid player. Normally, I lost. And for that reason, it's not so difficult. But maybe sometimes when you are playing bad and you are very far from your family and your friends and these things, maybe you feel sad, but this is normal, I think, for all the players.
Okay, so yeah, it doesn't sound like it has a worse effect on you than other people. If anything, to me, it sounds like maybe better. Maybe you do a good job dealing with the ups and downs.
It's not so easy to lose a game, some these things, but to be honest, normally I lost games, and from a lot of years I lost games, and also I won a lot. Maybe it's because my chess style maybe will be like that. I don't know exactly why, but it's not so bad for me to lose, because, for example, when I speak with Ulf Andersson, he say me that he prefers to make, for example, 8 draws and win one game, that won 6 games and lost 3.
Right, yes.
Because he told me that when he lost, he feels very, very bad. Yeah, he feels very sad and also. And for me, always I prefer to make more points than and lose a lot of games. Yeah.
So losing itself doesn't bother you that much.
Yeah, okay. Also, when I lose, I feel very bad. Maybe I feel that I am a fish or something like that. Yeah, I feel like that. I feel, yeah. And I start to think, yeah, why did I do that? Or, for example, and maybe sometimes in the night I feel very sad and I try to get my... to don't feel so bad, because maybe on the nights when you start to think about your game and you start to think about your wrong moves, maybe you feel very sad, yeah, because you feel, why did I do that? I am so bad or something like that, or why I didn't see these things that are so easy and this. But I try to calm, listen music or something like that, speak with my friends, with my family or something like that, yeah?
Yeah.
us. Because if you start to think a lot on this, maybe you feel more depressed, yeah?
Yeah.
You feel bad, 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 and you, it's always possible to feel worse than a few minutes before, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about feeling sad for too much longer, but I do. But the topic does make me wonder, is there like, can you think of one tournament or one result that was especially memorable for you, whether good or bad?
For example, something that was interesting, memorable result. Yeah, for example, in the last World Cup, normally I played 3 World Cups, yeah? And in the first 2, I lost 1.5 against half against Navarra and also against Berkes. And in the last World Cup, I played in the first round against Nihua from China. And when I won the game, the first game I won, and I feel very good, but it was very strange because I need to play in the next day, the 2 game, yeah? The mm-hmm. second game.
Right.
And during this night, I feel very happy, but also I feel very stressed because I remember that hey, I need to do a draw or something like that. And it was difficult to sleep, but I feel very happy also. And this was a lot of sensations, different sensations, because I feel very happy, but also I feel very nervous. And I remember that I spend all the night thinking what I do, what I'm trying to do, and these things. But after that, in the second game, to be honest, I played very bad. But he also played very bad. And for that reason, in some moments, he was clearly better. Later, we are near to make a draw. And I made a very big blunder. And I am totally lost, and he made a very big blunder also. And we make a draw. A very bad game for Grandmasters, but it's normally when you feel a lot of emotions.
Right.
And for this was a very important game for me because I passed to the second round of World Cup. This was interesting, but also other results are important for me because, for example, I win a continental championship also in 2015, I won the continental. A lot of tournaments are important for me. And also, for example, some tournaments in Zonal in Paraguay in 2009, I remember that I lost the last game. And if I made a draw, was my final Grandmaster norm, and also I qualified to the World Cup. And I have 25. When I played this tournament, I have 25-20 or something like that. And I'm going to play against a player of 2300, and he blundered a pawn in 10 moves. I'm totally winning, and I played very bad, and I lost the game, and I didn't make my final Grandmaster norm. I don't qualify to the World Cup, and all the things were bad.
Right, yeah.
But okay. But I don't feel so bad after that. I feel sad, but I feel okay. I improve my chess, and I try to be positive, because if you are negative, always you can find a lot of problems in all of the things of your life, yeah?
Yes, of course. Life and chess alike.
Yeah.
And that was in the midst of a pretty good run, right? Didn't you go from like 2,500 to 2,600 in pretty short order during that period?
In some moment, I was strange because when I tried to do my final Grandmaster Honor, was not so easy. And I don't understand why, maybe for some nervous or something like that. And after that, when I made my Grandmaster Honor, I made a lot of Grandmaster Honor in a row. And
right.
For that reason, I increased a lot of my rating. But to be honest, in the first time that I have more than 26, I'm overrated. I not play like that. Maybe okay. The first time was in 20, 2011 or something like that was. And I not when I may do, maybe I play like 2580 or something like that, but not like 2630 like I have. Okay, I make the good tournaments in a row and I increase my rating, okay? I don't stole nothing of rating, I don't make nothing strange. But to be honest, I feel that maybe I don't play like that, yeah? Mm-hmm. At this moment, I feel that I'm clearly better on chess that at this moment that when I achieve my first 26. But okay, I made a lot of good tournaments in a row. And maybe when you feel very confident, like in this moment, you play better. But it's not easy to be confident. Yeah, normally you feel confident with the results. Yeah, in all of the things of your life.
Yeah,
it's strange because normally you need to be confident to play better or to be or to feel better. But it's not like you wake up and say, yeah, today I will be very confident. It's not like that. Yeah.
Yeah, not in chess.
Not in chess. Normally you need to achieve some good results to feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in other pursuits it's easier to fool yourself.
Yeah.
but not in chess, unfortunately. So what do you have coming up in terms of tournaments, Sandro?
The next tournament will be the Spain, the tournament of teams of Spain, the Honor Division, and after that the World Cup.
Okay.
In Georgia. The tournament in Spain will be in August, and the other will be in September.
Okay, so you get a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's welcome. And you were recently in St. Louis, right?
Yeah, it was my first time in United States, and was also my first tournament of this strange, because I never play tournaments like that. And for that reason, was in very good for me to see what I do well and what I do bad.
What was strange about it?
Sorry?
What, you said it was strange?
Maybe my pronunciation was not so good. Strong, the force.
Oh, strong, yeah, strong. It was a strong tournament.
Yeah, but I don't speak so fantastic on English, but strength words, strength. I don't know the pronunciation exactly of the word, but it's like the strong or the
good players.
Yeah, they are very good players, and for that reason was for me interesting to play because I play against a lot of players of writing like me.
Mm-hmm.
And was good to see my weakness.
So what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I learned that maybe in some positional games I am not so good. And also I feel that maybe I take some bad practical decisions and that I need to improve some things of my opening repertoire because maybe I'm not so dangerous, but also I made a few good things. A lot of things to improve. Maybe if you want to improve, you need to be very critical about your game, yeah?
Right.
Because if you feel that you are so fantastic, maybe it's difficult to improve because it's not possible to see your weakness if you don't be critical.
Yeah. Well, whatever you're doing is working, Sandro. When I was 18, I was also around 2200 feet A, and I'm still around 2200 feet A. So so I'll have to pay close attention to what you say. Do you have like near-term goals? Do you set rating goals or performance goals or just take it more day to day?
Sorry, I don't understand. What do you say?
Do you have a goal? Do you have something you'd like to do in chess?
Yeah, I understand. No, at this moment, not exactly. Maybe I want to achieve 2700 at some moment, but I'm not totally sure if this will be possible, but I try to do. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally sure, but I try to do that. And maybe 2700 I want to achieve in some moments, but to be honest, at this moment, I feel that I play like my rating. I play like a 2650 or something like that, yeah?
Uh-huh.
And to be a 2700, I need to improve my chess. And it's not so easy, but I try to do that. And when I do that, maybe okay, I want to achieve at 2700 if this will be possible. I don't know exactly, because maybe it's this will be impossible. I don't know exactly, but I feel that it's possible. I feel that I need to try very hard to achieve that. But yeah, maybe I want to be 27 players, but I don't know. I try, but at this moment, I feel that I play like my right in 26, 50, 60, something like that. Not more than that.
Okay, so just keep doing what you've been doing, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll definitely be rooting for you. I do feel like being that you started playing competitive chess so late, it might give you a little bit more hope of achieving more than someone who started and has been plateaued for longer.
Yeah. Normally, my career will be strange if you compare with other players of my rating, because normally when they are young, they are very strong. Normally, a lot of people feel that maybe they are going to be world champions or something like that. For me, it was not like that, and it's different. Okay, but I feel well. I feel like a turtle or something like that. Slow, right. But I go, yeah.
Yeah, the tortoise and the hare. Yeah,
Argentinian turtle.
I like it. That's a good nickname, the Argentinian turtle. So, Sandro, while you've been pursuing chess, have you had any other jobs, or have you managed to just teach and play chess?
No, only that. Only teach and play chess. Only that I do.
Okay. And you've mentioned music a couple times. What kind of music are you into?
A lot of music, a lot of different music, very different. Something that was very strange because, for example, I like very much heavy metal, for example. But also I like, I don't know, salsa, bachata, and these things that are, it's like normally men that listen metal, they hate this other kind of music, yeah?
Right.
Like salsa or these things, but I like the two things. And I like a lot of music, different, also electronic music. But normally when I go in to play games or something like that, normally before the game, I listen some metal music to feel with more power, maybe.
Okay. Do you drink coffee or how do you manage your energy is what I'm wondering.
Coffee, I like it very much.
Okay. Nice. And are you like a few of the more elite players like Sam Shankland and some others that I've had as guests have mentioned like fitness regimens. Are you into any sports?
Yeah, I make sports. The only thing that I'm not so good is with the food. Normally I eat normally a lot of barbecues or something like that, but normally I run normally something like 30 kilometers per week or 35 normally.
Okay. And do you mind giving our listeners a little bit of a broader perspective on chess in Argentina? I think a lot of us from the U.S. and from Europe, of course, think of Miguel Najdorf and think of some tournaments over the years that have taken place in Argentina, but we don't know much about the players themselves.
At this moment, I think that we have a good perspective because we have also Alan Pichot, that he's a good player. He have 18 and he have 2580 of rating. For us, this was good. And also Perez Ponsa, he have 23 years and he have the same rating, but he at this moment he's on the university, but in a few months he finished the university, and I think that he can try to be chess player also.
Okay.
And also in South America we have a few good players at this moment. Also are my friends, for example, Alexander Fier, Iturrizaga from Venezuela, Fier from Brazil, also Granda, Cordoba, and Corey from Peru, Neuris Delgado and Bachman from Paraguay, also Leitao from Brazil. We have a lot of 2,600 players. Normally, the problem for us is that we need to travel a lot to play strong tournaments, because if we stay here, normally we are the first or second rating of all the tournaments here, yeah?
Right.
bad. And for that reason, we need to go to play in Europe and also in Asia.
Yeah, long flights.
Yeah. Yeah, and this also long place, and also the tickets are expensive also. And for that reason, normally when we go to play this kind of tournament, we need to play a lot of tournaments in a row, yeah?
Right, yeah. And do you get any help from either the Argentinian Federation or from the government for your chess pursuits?
At this moment, I have more chances to have something more, but we have... We have something, we received something like $400 from the government, from the sports government, and we received something like that.
Like per month?
Yeah, per month, but it's not so much because here it's very expensive also.
Yeah, yeah, that's not much at all.
For example, here is a very expensive place on South America also. For example, to live, for example, if you win, you have $1,000 per week, per month. If you have $1,000 per month here and you have family, you are poor, for example.
Right.
And you need something more, for example. Here is, and in other places from South America with 1,000, you are okay. But here is very expensive. It's like like some places on Europe and also...
So you mean Buenos Aires in particular, right?
Yeah, Buenos Aires in particular. Maybe on other cities that are not so big here, maybe they are cheaper, yeah? But yeah. Buenos Aires is expensive.
And would you ever consider living somewhere cheaper, like for that reason, or is it not worth it?
No, normally I live a lot of Buenos Aires, and in the only moment when I think on something like that was in Brazil, because a lot of years ago, my girlfriend was from Brazil, and for that reason only, I think.
Right.
That was possible, but not for economical reasons, only, yeah, for my girlfriend, but always I live here in Buenos Aires.
Yeah, I don't blame you. it's a fun place. So when you travel, do you ever get to see sights and stuff, or is it just all chess for the most part?
No, normally when I travel to play in tournaments, normally during the tournaments I also make some sports. Yeah, I run normally.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have time, I try to know the city, but not during the tournament, maybe before or after.
Okay. And so would you build that into a trip, or is it just like if it happens sort of thing? Like, do you make...
Yeah. Normally, if I have time, I try to do, but I try to play the tournament well, and because normally if I invest some money to make the trip, the most important for me was chess.
Right, yeah. Of course. Yeah, it's your business. Your business.
Yeah, my business. Because normally, yeah, a lot of people, I imagine that I'm going like holidays or something like that. But okay, I like to do that. But the problem is that if you think always when you take some holidays, the holidays are expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, exactly.
And also, you don't make nothing. This is the thing, or to be in holidays. Yeah.
Right.
And in the tournaments, you feel very stressed, and you start to know the city during the tournament. Maybe if you lose after that, maybe you feel bad because you feel that you don't try to do your best to play well. Maybe you are. And for that reason, if I have time, I normally try to know about the cities that I stay. But in some cities or countries that I stay, I don't know nothing, to be honest.
Right.
Or near to nothing. Of course, I know something, but not so much.
Do you have a favorite place that you've been?
Yeah, I like Buenos Aires. Also, a few places from Brazil. For example, Curitiba. When I stay, for example, in Mallorca, in Spain, also I like. Also, I like Bali in Indonesia.
Wow. Yeah, I want to go there.
Yeah.
Nice.
A lot of places, yeah. Also, for example, I also like Madrid, for example, and also Barcelona. To be honest, maybe I feel better in Latin place because I am Latin player, and also I feel that they have costumes like more similar to my costume. For example, in Sweden is interesting, but they are clearly different.
Right.
For example, here in Buenos Aires, normally you take the dinner near to 10 p.m. or something like that. And this is strange for a lot of people, yeah? Normally, also, I imagine that would be strange for United States to take the dinner 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah, a little bit in New York, but not anywhere else.
Yeah, for example, but here in Argentina, it's normal, yeah?
Yeah.
If you try to go to a restaurant, it's not so easy to find a restaurant that open 7 p.m., but it's easy to find a restaurant open at 11 p.m., for example. All the restaurants are open, for example, here, yeah?
Yeah.
Because we live more in the night. It's different, yeah?
Yeah. And this
something that for me is normal, yeah? But, for example, for you, it's normal other things. And you feel the difference when you stay in a place that...
Yeah.
Because, okay, these are my costumes and you have your costumes and it's normal, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, for that reason, also, I like to be in Latin place because for the language, yeah? Because always I feel better to speak in Spanish and also in Portuguese, yeah? Because I learned to speak Portuguese well, but English, I feel that I don't speak so well like I want, yeah?
Okay. Well, for the listeners, I want to tell you, Sandro, your English is great, but just to let the listeners know, Sandro was a little bit worried about whether he could do an interview, but you've done, I mean, I feel like you've communicated very clearly, and I know our listeners, I'm really glad to get your perspective. I mean, I think people who love chess, one of the things they love about it is it connects people from everywhere. So I'm really glad to get guests from all over the world, and like an elite player such as yourself from Argentina, the best player in Argentina. I mean, there's not many people who could give the perspective that you could. So I really appreciate your making the effort.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I don't speak so bad, but for example, if I speak in Spanish or also in Portuguese, for me, it will be easy to make a joke or something
right,
like that.
Right, yeah. Being funny in a foreign language is the hardest thing.
Yeah, being funny or something, or speak about, for example, in Spanish or Portuguese, for me, it will be easy to tell about a story or something like that. And normally these things that are not so easy to for me on English, yeah?
Right.
Because if we speak about some easy things, it's not so impossible or difficult to me to speak in English, but if I try to tell you a story and try to do this interesting, is difficult for me in English, yeah? But for example, in Spanish, I speak a lot, yeah?
Yeah, well, I think you can, it's probably just, it's difficult, but you can do it. I mean, it just takes more, it doesn't come as easy to you, but your grasp of the language is there, I think.
Yeah, it's possible. Normally, for example, in Portuguese, okay, it's similar to Spanish, but it's different, yeah? But I stayed a lot of times in Brazil, and for that reason, I speak well. And if, for example, it's possible for me to speak with people that don't speak well Portuguese. For example, some people from Brazil, that they speak more primitive Portuguese. You understand me, yeah?
Right.
It's possible for me to speak also this kind of Portuguese, for example. You understand me, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Because normally, for example, also in Argentina, we have the normal words, yeah? But we have also a lot of words that are not in dictionary or something like that, yeah?
Yeah.
And I imagine that also in United States, this will be like that. But
yeah.
In Portuguese and also in Spanish, I know these words, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's possible to speak this kind of different language but in English only I speak normally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay, Sandro, well, I think I just have one more topic I wanted to talk about, and that's you were on the Pro Chess League, right? You guys had a team in Buenos Aires.
Which team? Sorry.
Weren't you on the Krakens? Didn't you play?
Okay. Yeah, but this team was in we are friends with a lot of players from here. We are very close friends, yeah? And for that reason, I don't remember if Per Sponsa or Alan Pichot. I think that Per Sponsa was invited to make a chess team from Argentina.
Okay.
Yeah, and when he speak about that, we like to make the team. Yeah, and we are not so... Yeah, we are not famous players, yeah, because I remember that a lot of people say that we... sometimes they speak something like that we are making some... that we are cheating or something like that, for example, because we won against the team of Nakamura or something like that. But, okay, a lot of people that know us, they know that this is not like that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But we are not famous player, yeah? Normally, at this moment, I have 2650 or 60, but I'm not a famous player. No, I'm not the normal player that you saw in big tournaments or something like that, yeah?
Right.
But we make this team because we like to play on a team, yeah? For that reason, we are invited, and for us, was a very good experience because we play against strong tournaments, and normally the Argentinian people was... I don't know exactly the word on English, but we feel a lot of euphoria, you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, if you see a football game, for example, or something like that, where Argentinian people, you feel that we are very crazy people. And for that reason, when we play on chess team, we start to make a lot of crazy things. Yeah, because when we won a game, we feel very happy. You feel that, yeah. You hear all the team screaming or something like that, yeah?
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, that team spirit is something that's not always there in chess, so I think that's part of the reason that people like the Pro Chess League.
Yeah. We feel like a team, yeah? We feel, yeah. And we don't have any problem if any player plays bad or something like that. We don't say, yeah, you play bad, because we feel like a team, yeah? And we play... Yeah, and I remember that I don't remember exactly which player, but I remember that Alan Pichot was he's not playing in at this round. I don't remember why, but I remember that the player of the team won a important game, and I remember that he sent on the cell phone a very big scream. Yeah, like like heavy metal singer. Yeah,
great, nice. Excellent.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I can feel. And normally in private, we make some primitive jokes, yeah?
Right.
Trash
talk, we call it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Well, hopefully you'll have a few new fans now after this interview.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Well, Sandro, if anyone would want to reach you, would you be open to that email or whatever, Skype, Facebook, is there any way that if people want lessons or just want to thank you or reach out to you, is there any preferred method?
Okay. If they want to speak with me, maybe also it's possible in Facebook also. And also, Facebook will be okay or not, so you can put my email. Oh. I don't have any problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right. Well, Sandro, thanks a lot for coming on. I really appreciate it. I know that you're a busy guy and you're working hard, so I'll definitely be tracking your career and rooting for continued upward climb to 2700.
Okay. Thank you. And I hope that this will be possible. I'm not totally sure, but I try to do.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Perpetual Chess. To hear more episodes, give feedback, or suggest guests, go to perpetualchesspod.com. If you like the show, please help me out by telling your friends and giving me a high rating on iTunes. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Perpetual Chess Podcast. Sports Social Podcast Network.